Welcome to the Bayside Church Weekly Message Audio Podcast, Cheltenham.
Well, we are going to get into the Word this morning, and it's always such a privilege for me to be able to share the Word. And we are finishing our 8-part series. We've been journeying through this the last couple of months, called The Happy Life. You've been getting something out of The Happy Life? The Beatitudes of Jesus. We've looked at things such as blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the meek, blessed are the merciful, blessed are the pure in heart. And we're going to finish our series today. So if you've got your Bibles, let's get straight into it now. How about we turn to Matthew chapter 5? Matthew chapter 5. In fact, you know I love doing this. And if you want to join with me in standing up for the Word of God, if you're able to stand, would you stand with me right now? We're going to fill this auditorium with the Word of God in this place. There is power released when we speak out the Word of God. Amen? Amen. Just one verse this morning we're going to read together. So Matthew chapter 5, verse 10. If you don't have your Bibles, that's cool. It's going to be on the screen behind me. Let's read out aloud together, shall we? Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Lord God, I just pray right now through your Holy Spirit that you just speak such a personal word. Let us get such fresh revelation out of your word this morning. Let your word come alive on the inside of every single one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Amen. So that's our topic today. Blessed are the persecuted. Now, is it just me, or when you read that, blessed are the persecuted, does that almost sound like a bit of a paradox? Now, what are you actually saying here, Jesus? We're going to explore this, because remember, this is Jesus preaching a sermon, and he says, blessed are the persecuted. Well, one thing I want to say that Jesus is not saying, he's not saying that the persecution is coming to a person because they have done something wrong or because they're in trouble. Now, we do see that in life, don't we? Sometimes through our own decisions or our own choices that we make, we actually activate almost like a self-inflicted persecution that comes our way. I'll give you an example. If I go to my job every morning, I rock up late, I've got a poor work ethic, I've got a stinking attitude, well, any persecution that I receive from my boss is actually self-inflicted, isn't it? I can't stand there and say, God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you persecuting me? Because my boss is on to me about this and this. It's actually because of the poor choices and decisions I've made in my life. Do we understand that? So Jesus is not talking about this persecution coming to someone that has done something wrong. In fact, what Jesus is saying in this passage here, the persecution is coming because you've actually done something right. Let's have a look at that. It says, blessed are the persecuted because of righteousness. Blessed are the persecuted because of righteousness. What is righteousness? Well, simply put, righteousness is doing right. It's living right. It's being in right standing with God. And you see, righteousness is something that each and every one of us should be going after in our lives. We should be striving for righteousness to be in our lives. But the reality is, and what Jesus is saying here, as we go after righteousness, there is a high chance that at some time in your life, persecution is going to come your way. That's the truth right there. I like how the Apostle Peter explains this a little further. In 1 Peter chapter 4, don't turn there, it'll be on the screens behind me. And I found some comfort in this. Peter says, dear friends, that's us, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. And just if you allow me, when I read that out, I just feel maybe one person here this morning, you are going through a trial right now, and you're sort of questioning yourself and you're thinking, man, what have I been doing wrong in life? I've been doing as best as I can, but this trial keeps consuming my thought life. It keeps coming at me. I believe right now that God is telling you, it's not actually that you have done anything wrong, but because you've done something right, that's why you're facing the persecution. Be released in that now. Bring freedom into your life right now. So Peter says, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed. For the Spirit of glory and the Spirit of God rests upon you." And then he says this, listen to this. "If you suffer," this is one type of suffering, "it should not be as a murderer or thief or any kind of criminal or even as a meddler." Meaning that if you are suffering because you've broken the law, you've murdered someone, you're a criminal, well then of course you're going to feel some suffering and some persecution come your way. But we're not talking about that kind of suffering. Again, that's a self-inflicted through your actions. Peter says, however, the other type of suffering, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. And then in verse 19, he says, "So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good." I find that an encouraging passage that the Apostle Peter speaks for us. I find some comfort in that, like I say. So if we're experiencing some form of persecution now because of our faith in Jesus, because of the righteousness that is in our lives, we're in good company. And I want to tell you, it's not because you're doing something wrong in your life. It's because you're doing something right. The persecution comes, but Jesus says, "Blessed are the persecuted for their righteousness." Amen. We are going to receive a blessing. Let's continue reading in your text. If you've got your Bibles open still there, Matthew chapter 5. "So blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Let's read verse 11 and 12 because Jesus expands a little bit on his teaching here. So Jesus says, "Blessed are you when people," first of all, number one, "when they insult you. Number two, when they persecute you. And number three, falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me," because of Jesus. And then this is our response. I love it. Jesus says, "Rejoice and be glad." Why? "Because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." That's powerful right there. Jesus is saying, you know, you're doing everything right in life. You're calling yourself a Christian. You're walking alongside Jesus in life. But because of that very fact, there will be some people in your path that insult you, who persecute you, and say false things about you. How do we respond to that persecution? Jesus says, "Rejoice and be glad." Who feels like rejoicing and being glad when you're persecuted? Not me. That's hard. That's hard. Rejoice and be glad. It almost seems like that's a bit of a paradox, doesn't it? How can we rejoice and be glad? Yet that's what Jesus instructs us to do. You know, one of my favorite verses is, "This is the day that the Lord has made." Speak of that with me. And we're going to choose to rejoice and be glad. Whatever comes my way, Lord Jesus, that's my attitude towards you. I wake up in the morning saying, "This is the day that the Lord has made." I make a choice. I make a choice to rejoice and be glad. Maybe some of you can meditate on that during the week. Whatever trial, whatever situation, circumstance you're going through, speak that over yourself. Choose to rejoice and be glad. Jesus gives two reasons why we should rejoice and be glad. The first one is that we have got a great future in heaven. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Jesus says great, not okay, not mediocre, not average. He says great is your reward in heaven. And number two, he says that we are in good company of great people from the past. He says in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So church, it's inevitable. If we call ourselves a Christian, if we're walking with Jesus, there will be a time in every single one of our lives where we do face opposition, we do face insults, we face people saying false things about us, maybe rubbing our name in the dirt. It is going to come, but we need to rest in the fact that Jesus declares that we will be blessed as we seek after that righteousness for our lives. You know, I feel that as Christians, we're not called to kind of cotton wool ourselves in life. We're not called to live in cotton wool. I believe we're called to stand up and stand out. You know, I think we dare ourselves to be outstanding from society. You know, there's a society that has, it's almost like this false stigma or a label that is placed upon us. Oh, well, you're a Christian, so you should look like this, you should speak like this, you should eat like this, you could do like this. But we're not defined by what society says about us. I believe that we are called to be outstanding in society. You know, Jesus had the same thing. There was this religious stigma of the day that he didn't subscribe to. Ever read the Gospels? Man, Jesus was outstanding. He lived by the convictions and beliefs on him, on his heart, and he was outstanding. Society didn't get him. I believe that we're called to live like that, called to live with our convictions of our heart. You know, one of the convictions I have, and something I really try to work on in my life, is the conviction is that we are to minister in the opposite spirit. I'm sure you've all heard that. Minister in the opposite spirit. What does that mean? Well, it means when the insults come, when the persecution comes, instead of throwing back evil for evil, we actually retaliate with love. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's hard, but that's what Jesus did, and he wants us to do the same thing. What are our convictions? I want to encourage every single one of us. I believe God's on this right now. What are our convictions? What are our beliefs? What do we stand upon? What are the truths of our lives that we stand upon and say, you know what, this is me. This is what I believe. This is what I'm convicted by. No matter what comes, this is who I am. We've got to know who we are and where our identity is found. You know, for me, a conviction I've had from an early age was to be outstanding. And I'm not trying to give myself a big head when I say this, but I've been so conscious in my life to not just flow with the norms of society and culture. Everyone else is doing it, so I'm going to do it. I want to be my own man, yeah? And I'm sure you're the same. And I had an interesting journey through school. I loved school. Went to a great school. But it was interesting that every single year level, I was always the only Christian, just me. Every single year, and in fact, it continued into university as well. Zero Christians in my university course, in my year level. What's with that, God? But it established a strength to my faith. And I'm so thankful for that now, that it developed something on the inside of me. And year 12, a few years ago now, was a great year. Come on, it wasn't that long ago. I can still remember it. Not as long as some people in the room, just saying. Please don't shoot me. But year 12, I loved year 12. But those of you here today, if you are in year 12 or maybe parents, you've got kids who have gone through year 12, you'll know that this is true, that in year 12, pretty much every single weekend, your daughter or your son is going off to an 18th birthday party. Every single weekend. What's with that? You turn 18 in year 12. But anyway, I made a decision. My faith was strong in year 12. I made a decision that I was going to go to these 18th birthday parties. I was going to be there with my friends. But I had a conviction in my heart because of my faith. I chose, at the start of year 12, I chose to not engage in the drinking culture of my school. I wasn't going to drink alcohol. I wasn't going to engage in the revelry that was going on at these 18th birthday parties. And I copped it. I copped it all year. I had some amazing things said about me throughout year 12. You know, Jacob, you're not one of the boys unless you start drinking. Jacob, you're not a real man until you start drinking alcohol with the rest of us. Man up, what are you, some kind of loser? What are you, some Jesus freak? Yeah, I am. And I copped it, but the thing I did was that I ministered in the opposite spirit. So when these insults were coming, weekend after weekend after weekend, from my mates, from people in my own year level, I ministered in the opposite spirit. And you know, there were some low times at those 18th birthday parties. And I was there as a minister of grace, a minister of love, a minister of mercy. I picked up a lot of my friends when they were at their lowest point. I had a conviction because of my faith in Jesus Christ. I didn't care. Yeah, it hurt. Yeah, it did. But you know what? I rose above that because my conviction was stronger than the insults that were coming against me. I'm sure many of you have got similar stories to this. Another journey for me personally has been working here at Bayside for the last couple of years full-time as a staff member here. And I love it. Absolutely love it. This is what I'm called to do on this planet. But the interesting thing is not everyone understands that same conviction that I have. We've got some laughing along the front row here. People just don't get it. What are you doing with your life, Jacob? I've had someone actually say to my face, "You do realize, Jacob, that you are wasting your life." Whoa! I've had people say, "I studied uni for 5 years, and you know, you just wasted that uni degree, don't you, Jacob?" Incredible stuff. But you know what? The conviction of my heart, I believe that the local church is the hope of the world. I believe that Jesus is building his church, amen. And the gates of hell will not prevail because Jesus has victory already, amen. But we got to understand what we believe. What do you believe? So that when the insults fly, when the persecution comes, when people rub your name in the dirt, we got a choice. We can repay evil with evil, or we can stand upon those convictions and say, you know what, I love you. I'm going to continue praying for you. Yeah? Amen. Thank you, Lord. I just sent someone right now today. I just want to speak freedom over you. Whew. Lord, just bless this person right now. There's someone doing it so tough that you're just copying. It might be a workplace. Every single day you're rocking to work. You are being righteous. You are the man or woman of God. And you're copping it. Jesus declares that you are blessed. You are not forgotten. He loves you. He's wrapping his arms around you right now. Keep pressing into him, and you will come through the other side. In Jesus' name, amen. We all face persecution from time to time. Might be from your family, colleagues at work. Thankfully, I don't cop any from my colleagues at work. You'd be pleased to know, Pastor Christie. But wherever it's coming from, it is real. It is real. The persecution is real. But you know what else is real? God's love towards you, God's blessing, his favor towards you. That is so real. That is so real. As I was praying for you guys these last couple of days and preparing this message, I hope this is okay. I just really felt to just speak a word of encouragement over two people. I just had this really strongly on my spirit. The first person I'd love to speak to this morning, I think, is a tradie, or you do some sort of physical labor. And I just got a sense that you're copping flack again at work. Because you've made a decision to be honest and integral with your bookwork, that you do accept cash jobs and you're actually recording all of them down. You're not just taking the cash and putting it in your back pocket. And your mates at work don't understand that. They think you're crazy doing that. But I just want to encourage you that God sees that and he says thank you for being honest with that. So I just want to bless you with that. I hope this is okay. Another word I just got for someone, this is a little bit different, but I sense there's someone that's really been working on your language and you're trying to limit your swearing. God sees you do that. Again, you're in an environment, I think it might be at home, where there's everywhere, your friends, everyone swearing around you, but there's something on the inside of you that says, you know what, I'm going to watch what comes out of my mouth. And it's hard for you to do that, but God sees that. And I feel He wants to encourage you down that journey as well. I just wanted to speak that over us today. So I just really pray that God has been encouraging us to press into Him, no matter how hard it is, regardless of the persecution. Great is our reward. Rejoice and be glad in Jesus. Amen? Amen. Now, I've talked a lot about maybe my own journey and some stuff that we can go through here in Australia, but as we know, persecution is occurring all around the world. In fact, there are more Christians today facing persecution for their faith than there was in the first three centuries combined. It's incredible. And to give us a window into some of this persecution that our brothers and sisters are facing, during the week, Pastor Rob interviewed Mike Gore. And Mike is the CEO of Open Doors Australia. And what we're going to do right now is watch this video, and it's very insightful about what's going on in the world and how we can actually pray for our brothers and sisters. So after the video, then we're going to spend some time, we'll break into some groups, and we're going to pray for our brothers and sisters who are being persecuted around the world. So if we turn our attention to the screens right now, that'd be fantastic.
Mike, tell us, how many persecuted Christians are there in the world today?
It's a number that is highly debated, but conservatively we would say that there are more than 100 million Christians who are currently persecuted. That figure was really generated before Syria and Iraq started experiencing an increase in persecution, so my guess is that that number is a lot higher.
Yeah, it's a whole lot more than 100 million, which is pretty horrendous. What are the main trouble spots or hot spots with persecution these days?
So North Korea is still number one. A lot of us will tend to write off persecution to be specifically based around Islam, but that's not the case. So North Korea is definitely the number one spot. But we are seeing an increase in places like the Middle East, Syria, Iraq, and also sub-Saharan Africa, Nigeria and Boko Haram and the Chibok girls. I'm sure many of you in your church and yourself will probably remember.
Yeah, very much so. Jesus made a very interesting statement. He said, pray for those who persecute you and despitefully use you, or bless those who persecute you. How do you actually pray for a persecutor?
It's one of the biggest challenges I face in my role. You know, I lead a ministry that is all about the persecuted church. We stand up there and we tell people to pray, but, you know, for me, it's one of those questions, do I pray enough? And it reminds me of a girl in Uganda. She's 12 years old. Her name's Susan. We work with her as a ministry. She's got one of those really round faces that just lights up a room when she smiles, but, you know, she comes from a staunchly Islamic family, and one day she was at school and a visiting preacher came along and he spoke about this guy called Jesus, who claimed to be the Son of God and was the Son of God. And Susan there and then decided to give her life to him, and she went home, told her father. Her father was furious. In fact, he grabbed Susan and her younger brother, he dragged them outside of their house. He grabbed a knife, held it to their throats, called the neighbors and said, Susan, if you continue to follow Jesus, I'm going to kill you and your brother. He grabbed her, he took her back inside, he took her into a room in the house, he placed a mat on the floor. He said to Susan, you sit on that mat and do not move until you're willing to deny Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He turned around, locked the door and left. Susan's father didn't return to that room for 3 months. In fact, the only way she survived was that when her dad was out, a younger brother would dig a hole under the door, he'd pour water into it for her to lap up like a cat. And on occasion, when he had time, he would fry up some banana and slide that under for her to eat as well. Anyway, after 3 months, the neighbor said to her brother, where's Susan? We haven't seen her. He told them, and they called the police. The police came, they opened the door, and there she was, sitting on the mat. In fact, after 3 months, the bones in her legs had begun to grow and conform to the way she'd been sitting. Her hair had turned yellow from a lack of nutrients, and she weighed 20 kilos, 12 years old. They rushed her to hospital, and that's where Open Doors bumped into her. And I remember we asked her the simple question, Susan, why didn't you try and escape? Why didn't you try and leave? And without missing a beat, she looked back and she said, because my father said, if I was to leave that mat, I'd be denying Jesus. Wow. I couldn't do that. And then anyway, as we talked with her more, we said, well, Susan, what can we be praying for? And she smiled and she said, I want you to pray that my dad would become a Christian.
Goodness. What an amazing response.
It's one of those things, and it challenged me because in light of your original question about praying for those who persecute you, in stories like that, I see, you know, I see things like hatred and disgust, a lack of respect, a lack of grace, and ultimately, you know, I see all of those things in me. I look at Susan's dad and I get these emotions and feelings and I'm just like, man, how could you do that?
Yes, yeah.
But the Bible says, bless those who persecute you. Do not curse them, bless them. And so for me and how I do that, I guess, the way I've wrestled with it is I've come back to the idea that the way I pray is, number one, I'll always pray for the persecutors first.
Okay.
Number two, I'll pray for the persecuted, because I promise you, by the time I have my mouth around a prayer for someone like Islamic State,
yep,
or the North Korean government, my heart's in the right place to pray for the victims.
And so how do you pray for those who are being persecuted? Because it's such a general thing, isn't it? It's like, you know, God bless the 100 million plus people who are being persecuted. How do you pray specifically?
Yeah, and look, I think that that's one of the big challenges is that in the West and in my own life, I have rationalized the word blesses to mean good things, mean materialistic things, like bless me means give me that job or that car or that house. And so when it comes to praying for the persecutors, I wrestle with this thought of, man, I don't want all those good things for them. But if I look at the Bible and I look back through the Old Testament and I see the Abrahamic blessing, which was about salvation, my prayer becomes now, Lord, save them, bless them, draw them to your side, save them from an eternity separated from you. And so it means that bless those who persecute you is actually a prayer of salvation. It's not a prayer of good things and materialistic gain, which then means, I guess, when I pray for those who suffer the persecution, I've got to make sure I don't use that word flippantly either.
Sure. So you'd be for those who are being persecuted, you pray for strength?
Yeah, strength. It gives me the opportunity to push into God and listen. So in my own prayer life historically, I've so often said, oh Lord, you know, bless Rob and bless Chrissy, you know, and the team. And I realize that it's such a superficial word that means everything and means nothing. And so now for those who suffer persecution, I can sit with it and say, God, what do you want for them? And it might be shelter, it might be protection, it might be just a new revelation of his love for them today. And so it means that I'm trying to avoid, you know, pigeonholing this word bless to just mean materialistic stuff and really use it the way I believe God intends it to be used.
Wonderful. Mike, we're looking forward to having you in person at Bayside Church in 2016.
Fantastic.
Thanks for your time today.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this weekly message audio podcast. If you'd like to listen to more messages and find out more information, check out our website at www.baysidechurch.com.au. Church has changed. Check it out.